Moncrief on News Talk.
For at least two centuries in this country, people have been wandering out of their houses to share the big news: births, marriages and deaths. But they haven't been telling the neighbours. They've been telling the bees. Imre Quivonak is a folklorist and author of the book The Keeper of the Bees. Imre, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
As far as is known, how far back does this date and what did it spring from?
There is kind of evidence from the mid-1800s onwards, and then there's lots of folklore and it's kind of seeped into literature from, you know, within the 19th century. And what it sprung from, I suppose, could be a combination of things, in that in pre-Christian times, the bees and butterflies and small birds, they were kind of considered to be the intermediaries between this world and the other world. And often the bee would be considered to be like a symbol of the soul. So the act of telling the bees was in some way seen as you were giving the message onto the messengers who would bring the news to the gods. But the act itself is literally kind of just telling the bees of important events, as you said, you know, a birth or a wedding, or most poignantly, telling the bees of a death has been particularly popular in Ireland as a folkloric tradition.
Yeah, and as I understand it, it's notwithstanding what you said, but it's a sign of respect to the bees, and the bees don't like it if they're not given that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a gorgeous, I suppose, demonstration of a little bit of that affinity that can exist between the bee and its keeper. And, you know, but like when I see my dad is 85 years old and he's been beekeeping for 70 of his 85 years. But when I've observed him beekeeping over the years, I always kind of see it as a bit of a nearly a private practice. And, you know, every movement is very considered. And when I learned of the folklore of telling the bees, it kind of made sense to me because, you know, within folklore, bees are considered to be very sacred, but they're also considered to be really wise and perceptive and kind of a gentle disposition. So in folklore, if you don't tell the bees of the important events, the chances are the bees will actually take offense and they'll be a little bit, you know, insulted, and they could either die in the hive or they'd actually flee the hive, you know, as a demonstration of umbrage, I suppose.
Yeah, and you have collected stories from various people about exactly that sort of thing happening.
I have, yeah. There's lots of stories already recorded in the archive in the Irish Folklore Department or the National Folklore Commission in UCD. And I've read through amazing accounts from like the 50s of people in Antrim and Galway, Cork, all going out, and the kind of different, the ceremony that they take, you know, to go out and tell the bees. Like there was one man, I think his name was Jimmy Ban from Antrim. And he, you know, had a full wash. He shaved himself. He put on his best suit and polished his boots before he went out to his bees and shared the news of his dear mom passing. And in more recent years, I've interviewed different people. One guy from Cork, Macroom in Cork, and he said to me that a beekeeper died in the locality. And when he was telling me the story, he was kind of pointing over to the Bohereen. And he said, and the funeral procession went over that road there. And he said, and I'm telling you this, the bees followed that funeral procession overhead. Huh. So the bees were seen to follow the funeral nearly like a speckled cloud. And I suppose, as you said there, Sean, it's kind of a, it's nearly like the bees are giving their last respects, you know?
Yeah, and would, and in that case, did the bees go return to their hive? Had someone told them that their beekeeper had died?
Well, in that case, the bees didn't go back to the hive. And there are other stories where if you don't tell them, they will just leave. And there was this woman that I spoke to again from Cork, from Ballydehob. And she told me of her cousin's widow visiting the grave of a deceased beekeeper. And when she went to the grave was just covered with bees and butterflies. And she kind of said, now, listen, obviously there were flowers there on the grave, so the flowers might have attracted the bees. But on the other hand, she also said, but you know what? I think they were paying their last respects. and they never went back to the hive. So there's that, I suppose, connection that can happen, can't there, between people and their pets generally, and bees and beekeepers definitely hold that very special connection.
And your father is a beekeeper, so did he maintain this practice himself?
He did, actually. And my dad is originally from Wexford, and, you know, he wouldn't consider himself a highly superstitious man. But when my dear mum passed in 2008, he went down to his bees. He was keeping bees in the Airfield estate in Dundrum at the time. And it was January, and he went down. And there's lots of different things that people do. You know, they can knock in the hive, or there's some customs of telling a rhyme. But my dad just went down and he told the bees of my mum's passing. And when he came home, I kind of said to Dad, "Oh, that must have been hard, you know." And Dad just kind of went, "Well, it was the right thing to do." And unbeknownst to him, I think within folkloric tradition, if you don't do the right thing, the bees could, you know, leave the hive. So it was beautiful seeing him carry on that tradition.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you heard this, but even when the Queen died back in 2022, in the palace gardens, there are lots of beehives, and there's a beekeeper there. I think he's there about 15 years. John Chappell is his name. But he went down and he said that the Queen had died, but please stay. There's someone else, a good master, to take care of you. And within England, what they do generally as a custom there is they would cover the hive with a black crepe or a cloth. And in John Chappell's case, what he did was he adorned the hives with beautiful black ribbons. But just in Ireland, when we put black crepes on the hives, it's kind of nearly allowing the bees time to mourn. And that's what the beekeeper in England did as well.
Yeah. I love the idea that your dad got dressed up to go down and tell them that, he treated it like a duty.
Yeah. And a respect, as you said before, it's that kind of, you know, a respect for the bees, that they're gentle, that they'd, you know, like to be integrated into the household events. And, you know, I suppose when my dad goes to any funeral, it's the one time he put on a suit.
Yes.
You know, as a sign of respect for the deceased. And I think that's what he was maintaining there in that instance also.
So when you were growing up then, would you have had bees in the back garden or kind of at another location?
Yeah, we had bees in the back garden. It was before the time, like, that wouldn't necessarily be allowed now, but we were in a, you know, a small garden, a semi-detached house in Dundrum, and there were actually three working hives in our back garden. I'm the youngest of four. And so there was a lot of playing in that back garden with long locks flowing. But it was generally considered if we got stung, Dad would kind of say to us, "Well, isn't that your own fault now? You got in the way of the work of the bees." So we knew not to go crying if we got stung. So we just didn't really have a fear around the bees. But Dad also kept bees in Kilgobbin, which he still does, and down in Wexford as well, in various places around Wicklow. So we'd have different bees, different kind of apiaries in different locations. And of course, that would glean different flavours of honey as well, you know. So the honey down in Airfield would kind of taste different to the honey in Wexford.
Oh, wow. It's a funny thing about, you know, anyone I've ever met who's grown up around bees.
Mm.
Yeah, they go, "Yeah, of course I've been stung." That's the, yeah. But people who haven't grown up around bees, and include myself, if you see a bee or a wasp, you think, "Oh my God, it's got a machine gun," and everybody freaks out.
Yeah, I think it is that fear. Like, I have literally been stung since I was probably, you know, old enough to be running around in the back garden. And, you know, once you know what it's like and it passes very quickly, you kind of get over it. But it's kind of, it didn't resonate with me that I didn't have a fear of bees, if you get me, because that's just the way it was in our house. But back in the kind of late 80s, my dad was actually listed in the Golden Pages. You know, do you remember the business?
Yes.
Phone book? And he was listed in there as a beekeeper. So during the summer months, we used to get, you know, 20 calls of a very hot day from random people who were completely upset that there a swarm of bees had landed in their garden or into a tree in the front of their garden. And basically, Dad would go out and collect the swarms from different gardens around Dublin. And I used to always tag along. And it was only then when I went out into the public and I saw bees and people together, I kind of went, geez, people are awful freaked out here. But I didn't kind of know that that was a thing until I saw other people my age, you know, having the fear. But it was a win-win for Dad. He'd kind of take away the swarm, put them into a cardboard box and put them into a hive the next day. And then the people got rid of their swarm as well. So everyone was happy.
Yeah. And like, if he was getting all these calls from people to rescue these swarms, did he have room for them all?
He'd make room, Sean. Yeah, he'd make room. So he'd have kind of what he'd call nooks, N-U-C. So it's nearly like a transitionary hive. It's a small little hive. So it might be the quarter size of one kind of bee box. And he would keep them there overnight and they'd be calm. And then he'd kind of move them down to either Dundrum or to Kilgobbin or Wexford. But you'd never say no to a swarm. And in folklore, it's a lucky sign for a swarm to come to you. So, you have to house the swarm and, you know, it'll flourish. It's another hive then. It's amazing.
And pardon the stupid question, but if you have a hive already and someone says, I have this swarm in my back garden, can you take that swarm and put it into that existing hive, or would they like freak out if that happened?
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that in that one. Once, like a hive of bees that are bedded down in a box hive, kind of have their routine, and each member of the hive have their designated role. You know, the female worker bees, the foragers, the scout bees, the drones staying within. But also, you'd never put two queens into one hive. So when you take a swarm, there will be a queen in the nucleus of that swarm, if you understand. And you'd never put two queens into one hive. So you'd definitely separate them out and use it as an opportunity to generate a whole new healthy swarm, you know, a whole new healthy hive.
Emer, fascinating speaking with you. Thank you so much for doing so. That was Emer Quaivonoch there. The name of Emer's book is The Keeper of the Bees.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.